cliffcentral.com. Let's turn our attention to Anthea. So hard for the money. So hard. She be dancing for them dollars. She be dancing for them dollars. Anthea would like to point out that she does not dance for dollars. But she is watching them, no matter where we go. Morning, Anthea. We're sorry we missed out on you yesterday, but I'm glad you could be here this morning for us. A special edition of The Money Shot with Anthea Gardner. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm definitely watching that dollar. Have you seen where the rand is trading?
No. What is it at the moment?
14.51 last time I checked.
Ah, okay.
So before the budget speech, it was 13.21.
Right. Uh-huh. So we're heading up towards 15.
In a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Things are going so well. The president says there's no such thing as state capture.
Yeah, no corruption.
No.
He's done nothing wrong.
No.
You know, sure. Anyway, the all share hit an all-time high last week, again, at 60,000 level, but it has come back a bit. I'm not surprised, though, some profit-taking. You know, people are getting nervous. Mm-hmm. The South African Chamber of Commerce last week put out their Business Confidence Index. Not good news. It came out at 92.9, which is just slightly below the 93 previous. And a little bit better, I guess, than August, but just not good. Really, it's not good. The average for the first 10 months of 2017 was 94.1, which is slightly better than 2016, where the average for the first 10 months was 93.4, but a lot worse than 2015, where the average for the first 10 months of the year was 101.2. So I'm just giving you that as context about where we are, you know, kind of 2015, 101, and last month 92.9. In fact, the Chamber of Commerce actually urged the finance minister to issue a policy statement that would restore business and investor confidence. We cannot have economic growth without business confidence, because we need businesses to be invested in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, this was all last week, right? And then, of course, yesterday, Michael Sachs, who's the deputy DG at the Treasury, resigned. And can I just say that I don't know where this is all going to end. I mean, is this even the end? There's so much out on the politics. There's so many revelations at the moment. All the books being written, all the interviews, everybody stepping up. I mean, like, is this ever, like, is this the bottom? I really am trying to figure out where to from here. Anybody? Any clues?
No, your guess is as good as mine.
No, well, the politics will just keep getting worse and worse, right? So we've got...
I was saying this morning, all of these people I spoke to on Friday, they're all entrepreneurs in South Africa. They represent SMEs. They say that the one thing you absolutely should not put any stock in is government. Everything else that you can do to put a barrier between you and government, you should do.
Okay, I get that, but... I mean, you can't ignore government. Like,
No. You
know, in 10 days' time, we're looking at a possible downgrade. 10 days, huh?
So?
You got it. And like, can they just not stop? Stop the nonsense. You cannot have radical economic transformation without economic growth. Somebody, like, how many times do I have to say that? Like, do we not know that yet?
Have you not read Piketty?
Have I? Sure. All 763 pages of it.
And you learned what? Nothing. You could have saved yourself at least 600 pages of that.
Okay. Should we pass that on to the government?
Yeah, well, I think they're already reading it, which is why they've got their heads up their backside.
Oh, is that?
But because they're all jockeying for power ahead of December, we all have to carry the can. What they don't realize is that they inherit a poorer country when they do this, instead of inheriting a richer country. I mean, even if you just want to steal, if you're just an outright kleptocrat, like Justice Malala said once, at least grow the economy, then there's more to steal.
I like that.
Let's talk your language, all right? If this is all you understand, if you're, you know, Jacob Zuma or Faith Mutambi or Batabile Dlamini, just grow the economy so that you can steal more. Even if that's your only motivation. Because otherwise you're going to steal less and less, because the entire basket gets less and less.
But surely economic growth and prosperity and jobs for everyone will get them more votes.
They don't care about that anymore. No.
See, I don't think it will get them more votes. I think it'll get them less, because people will become empowered, informed, and actually understand what a country, like how a country
and
operates.
And realize that the ANC is like the most
outdated
and pointless organization. It no longer has any value for the average South African. And by average, I mean the people on the ground, the poor people. Rich people are just going to bet against the rand now.
Mm.
That's all they're going to do. So rich people will get richer anyway. Don't worry about the rich people. The poor people, they have nowhere else to turn. They're going to get poorer and more miserable. So the ANC has failed you, is the sum conclusion of all of this. And don't say I didn't say so. Don't say I didn't tell you. Don't say I didn't warn you. I wrote a letter 7 years ago to government, which you can go and read. It's in there.
Yeah, so the politics really just not helping our economy. Anyway.
All right, well, let's carry on.
Yeah, shall we? It's so depressing. Shall we talk about companies? Okay, let's talk about Steinhoff. Oh, shame. Yep. They can't stay out of trouble.
I know. I keep checking in on those Steinhoff shares, and I'm like, yeah, what's going on here? It's bouncing around, -5%, -4%.
Up 3.5%. I know. It's one of the biggest holdings in my portfolio, so it's really hurting me. Last week, the share was down again at some stage one day on Wednesday last week. Mm-hmm. Down 8% at one stage, closed down 5% because there was an article saying that, and it was a Reuters article saying that there was an investigation into Steinhoff because they had not disclosed a deal that they had done with a company called GT Branding Holding, of which they own 45%. They'd basically loaned GT Branding 810 million Swiss francs. Now, the prospectus, the listing prospectus, so for companies that are listed, very clearly states that if you have a material transaction, you must disclose it. Steinhoff are arguing that actually this loan offsets the royalties that they receive from GT Branding and that the net flow is actually negligible, so it's not material. But of course, they've also had an issue previously with tax. And listen, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but these attacks just seem constant, and Steinhoff are actually not being charged. They're just constantly being investigated.
Hmm.
And just to add to my non-conspiracy theory,
yeah.
This latest attack comes after, a day after, Christo Visser took out 120 million rand CFD to buy Steinhoff shares. And because it's a CFD, a contract for difference, yeah. So does he not own enough Steinhoff shares? He bought more last Tuesday, 120 million rands worth more.
What else is he going to do with this money?
Oh, good point.
Okay, so
buy more holiday homes.
But if he's
does he not have any ambition?
If he's buying, then maybe he knows something that we don't.
But exactly, right?
And if he's buying more, then we should all be buying more.
I can't possibly buy more.
All right, except for Anthea.
Up to my limit in Steinhoff shares.
Everyone else buy more. All right, what do you mean by this?
What do I mean by what?
No, like if he's buying more, what does that mean for the rest of us?
Absolutely. I think it's a great sign. You know, we often watch directors' dealings, and when somebody close to the company goes in, and it's not just 120 million rands worth, it's actually geared. It's probably like a couple of billion in the end.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. No, right. He's betting on his own company, and I like that. Shall we talk a little while we're still on like one of all these local companies offshore? Mm-hmm. Shall we talk a bit about Brait?
Please.
Who put out a trading statement last week, and basically they were saying that their net asset value per share has fallen 37.7% since last year this time, from 105 rand. It's now, where is it trading now, Gareth?
Do you know?
Brait.
I'll tell
you
now.
While I'm talking, will you look up?
I'll tell you.
Okay. And the problem
with... Get ready to be depressed.
And the problem with this is...
Brait is trading at 1,662.50 rand a share. Sorry, no. sorry, 47.50 rand a share.
Yeah.
And they used to be somewhere in the 105
last time this year.
There we go.
Okay. So what they've done now is the problem child has been the UK fashion retailer New Look, whose bonds were actually trading at junk status and returning, I think, 25% yield at some stage. They've now written that off completely. So they're not including it in their valuation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Although New Look still has a liquidity position of 242.5 million pounds. So it's not a company that's about to go under. I mean, the question is this finally the bottom for Brait?
Yeah.
I don't know. Shall we wait and see?
What are we going to do if it is the bottom?
We're going to hold on, and then when it gets back to 100, we'll sell it. Because now we're sick of it, right? We've just had enough of this.
Oh, yeah.
We just want to make back the money that we lost.
Never want to hear the word Brait again in my life.
You'll regret this if it goes to 200 next year,
I'll be
right?
Prepared. I'm happy to regret it.
Right. You don't like this volatility thing, eh?
I just don't like Brait.
Oh, okay. It is annoying. It's an annoying share.
All right.
Should we talk a bit about Tencent? Because they bought... an additional, I think it is 7.5% of Snapchat last week.
Really?
Yeah. They bought what we call Class A shares, but these Class A shares have no voting rights. And 95% of the company's voting power, in fact, still lies in the hands of Evan Spiegel and Bobby Murphy, the two co-founders.
Right.
So I think, I don't know what to think. It's a small little kind of position for Tencent. It's not that big a deal. They're sitting on cash of $10.65 billion, and Tencent are just going, maybe something will come out of it, maybe not. I'll just throw some more money at it.
So it's a little gamble.
Exactly. And it's like, it's so negligible. Everyone's going, oh, did you see Tencent bought Snap? Well, who cares? Like, it's so small in Tencent's life. I mean, like, I don't, there's no strategic move to it. There's nothing significant in my view. I mean, if you consider last year, Tencent paid $8.6 billion for Clash of Titans. Remember that game?
Yes.
I'm like, Snapchat, it's like nothing in their lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alibaba is one of our favorite companies.
While we're in that region of the world, it was Singles Day on Saturday. And you know, this is a big deal, right? So it all starts on Friday evening. Jack Ma makes a big deal. He has a big concert. He has lots of famous people. This year he had Nicole Kidman, James LeBron, and then the Chinese stars were Zhang Ziyi and Fan Bingbing.
Oh, my favorite. My absolute
favorite. Fan Bingbing, my favorite.
Posters of them up on my wall at home.
They increased revenue this year on top of last year's by 40% to generate $25 billion in sales in one day.
Oh.
So, you know, Singles Day is this on the 11th of November, right? So 1-1-1-1.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. At the peak of trading, they were processing on Alipay, which is their payment system, 256,000 payments per second.
Wow.
I mean, these numbers are just ridiculous.
I've used Alibaba before.
Have you?
Yeah.
And how did it work? Get your stuff delivered?
Well, the problem is the post office in this country.
Okay.
But you do get it eventually. It just takes 3 months.
So they don't use courier?
No. I don't know that there was a courier option on the stuff I was ordering, but it eventually arrives at the post office, but it arrives 3 months later. Sometimes it doesn't arrive all at once. It's a mess, but it's because of local stuff. It's not because of them.
Okay. Have you noticed that there are more courier companies springing up in South Africa?
Yeah, well, because
I've noticed quite a few, actually.
Who wants to use the post office? Yeah. You know, the only one who wants to use the post office is Batabi Ledlamini for the SASSA grants.
I thought she didn't want to use them.
Oh, no, she doesn't. Yeah, that's right.
Nobody wants it.
It's other people who say they want. So, in other words, poor old Mark Barnes has got no one who wants his post office.
Oh, shame.
And Batabi Ledlamini's got all these people that she wants to use who have nothing to do with anything South African. They're all international companies.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
OnePay. Huh? What is it called? Anyway. So I see they're also auctioning the biggest South African auction bond yet. They're auctioning a whole $3.3 billion of local currency bonds on Tuesday, Treasury.
Are you talking about government bonds, government
what
bonds?
What does that mean?
On Tuesday?
Today.
Well, they do
today.
Well, they do it weekly. They have government bonds every week. Mostly, actually, it's on a Friday morning. This is obviously a long... Do you know what the tenor is of that? How long? What's the maturity? Like 10 years, 20 years, 30 years?
Let me look at it quickly.
Okay.
Benchmark 10-year yields have climbed more than 60 basis points since October, when Finance Minister Malusi Gigaba said the government will need to raise an additional 122 billion rand of debt over the next 3 years to plug a yawning fiscal shortfall. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Moody's and S&P are preparing to review us, blah, blah, blah. And they say that Jacob Zuma is plotting to override the Treasury and implement a costly plan for free university education. That was in the news yesterday. While a failed auction is unlikely, the 8 so-called primary dealers who make a market in government bonds are obliged to buy the debt on offer. Yields will probably have to rise if orders decline. Demand at last week's sale fell to 2.7 times the amount on offer, compared with 3.9 times the week before. Benchmark yields have climbed about 30 basis points since then. Treasury plans to sell debt maturing in 2031, 2037, 2044, and 2048.
And so basically what that article is saying is that this is how government raises money, right? Either through your taxes or by going to the debt capital markets and issuing bonds, borrowing from investors, basically local and international. And they're raising the bond auction today because they know they're going to get downgraded next week, and it'll be more expensive to borrow next week than it is today. It's already more expensive than budget.
Even government know that we're about to be downgraded. Even government realize that if we don't borrow now, we're going to be in deeper crap by this time in 2 weeks.
But can I just say that those bond auctions are run by the banks, and the banks know very well, like the big banks, RMB, Standard Bank, Absa, those are the big guys that do these auctions. And they have gone, no doubt, they've gone to Treasury and said, listen, if you're going to issue bonds, now's the time to do it, because next week it'll cost you a lot more to borrow money.
All right.
So even, as an investor,
even government are betting against themselves, is what I'm saying.
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So as an investor, here's the problem. Should I be buying bonds today? And let's say they issue bonds at 10% yield. Next week, Friday, when the credit rating agencies downgrade us, there's a chance I could get 15%. Well, now I'm exaggerating a bit. Maybe 12.5% for my money. So why should I be buying bonds today? And that's why they get the banks to underwrite them. So you'll have all these banks sitting with investments that they probably could be yielding an extra few percent on.
All right.
All right.
I think that's all we got time for.
Yeah. There was a lot today. Thanks right. very much, cool. guys.
And Anthea, don't forget, Run is going to pop in to talk to us about cryptocurrencies at about 7:30, so if you want to listen.
Oh, I'll definitely listen to that. I want to hear what he has to say about Bitcoin, which has come off a bit, eh?
Yeah.
From 7,000 to 6,150 or somewhere around there.
Would I rather be in Bitcoin or in rands?
Ooh!
But you know you can short rands, eh? Mm. You can buy dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, just saying.
I know. I got you. That's my plan. What are you talking about?
So you would have made over 10% in... When was the budget speech? 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have made 10%, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
If you bought dollars.
See, that's what I mean. Like, people who have money, it's not going to be the end of the world for them when all of this happens, because they ride it. They just put their bets in different places.
Exactly.
For poor people, though, the reality is it just gets worse. And this is a government that keeps telling us they are the government who care about poor people. They are clearly not. I hate to keep banging the same drum, but it seems that people up there aren't listening. They just aren't listening. They're so busy squabbling in the NEC that it seems that they've forgotten what they're really there to do. All right. Thank you, Anthea. Very good. A money shot for this morning, Tuesday, the 14th of November. CliffCentral.com.